Psalm 71 in your King James Bible. Let's stand if you're willing and able to do so. I want to get right into the scripture. May have to try to work up into a good preaching gear tonight. And I trust you'll pray for us. The Lord knows we can't do nothing without Him. That's true of any service. It's especially true tonight. Psalm 71. And let's read our two verses we've been emphasizing. We'll lay just a moment or two of some groundwork, and I want to get into this next part and phrase and statement that we want to expound on tonight. The Bible said in verse 16 and 17, David writing, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only." And here's the part we want to deal with tonight. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. You can be seated tonight, Heavenly Father. I know tonight, and I'm deeply aware of our need of divine strength and a touch from God, Lord, that would go beyond anything we could do in and of our own ability. Lord, we're limited always, and we're especially limited tonight. And so, Lord, we pray for special touch upon our voice and our body, upon our mind. And Lord, I pray more than anything, the spiritual almighty touch and unction from the hand of our God would rest upon us tonight. And Lord, may the things that you've laid upon our heart out of these verses some months ago, Lord, as we've studied it with the church these last several weeks, Lord, may it be a source of challenge, and Lord, may it be a source of learning tonight, even as we speak about learning and being taught. Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, you would do a great and a mighty work. Help especially our young people tonight in this world, in this land, in this generation, Lord, that has lied to them and is trying to deceive them and seduce them into a way that is ungodly, into a way that is contrary to the holiness of God and His Word. Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, they would be stirred in their heart as the songs have just been sung to be satisfied with God and God alone, knowing that He really truly is all that they and we need. Lord, I'll bless your name, Lord, for all that you do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This is a special psalm to the life of David, a study of the life of David. As in this psalm covers the entirety of the span of David's life. He'll speak in this psalm of his birth in verse number 6, and he'll give credit to the fact that it's God that gave him life, and it's God that brought him into this world. It was the Lord who had a plan for his life from the very beginning of his days, that God had some things in mind for David, and David now, at whatever stage of life he is in, he looks back and he sees the hand of God even in the days of his birth. And then he speaks of the days of his youth and how after his birth he's growing, no doubt in stature, growing in knowledge and in wisdom and in life. And he speaks of the fact that in those early days of his life, those youthful days, it was God that was abounding in his life. He was not just learning how to walk and how to talk and how to function and how to eat and how to care for some things of his natural man. He understands that there was more going on in his life, that even from the days of his youth, the Lord was working in such a way in David's life to teach David how to hope and to trust in Almighty God. So I derive from that David has been saved in the days of his youth, and God has done a saving work in his life. And he speaks of those days and how wonderful the days of our youth truly are. As we give our life to the Lord, and if you'll give your life to the Lord as early as you know to give it, your life will be blessed abundantly. Amen. For your relationship that you have with God from the days of your youth. One of the great lies, even among the church in this hour, is that you got to wait till you 50 or 60 years old and sowed your wild oats and messed up your life and lived in the far country and scarred yourself up Before you get serious about knowing and serving and loving God, nothing could be further from the truth. I'm thankful He's a God that has saved 50 and 60 year olds. But I'm thankful He's a God that's interested in the youth. If the youth will be interested in knowing Him, you can know that. And David speaks of the days of his birth, the day of his birth, and he speaks of the days of his youth. He'll speak of in verse number 18, the days when he's looking ahead to that time when he is going to become old and gray-headed. And so he speaks of that. And as he looks forward in the days to come, he is confident that the same God that had a plan and a purpose for his life in the day and time of his birth, and the same God that introduced himself to David in the days of his youth, is the same God that is going to be with him on into the end of his life. He goes and no doubt is living in anticipation. He's not dreading becoming old. He's not dreading those times that are to come. Maybe he understands as he's going to grow older, he's going to get weak, he's going to become frail. He is not going to be able to do some of the things he could have done and enjoyed in the days of his youth. But he doesn't have dread because he understands his God is going there with him. And God will not forsake him, and God will continue to strengthen and bless the life of David even in the days of his youth. And so we derive from Psalm 71 an entirety of the life of David. And what David's life is an example of is that it doesn't matter where you are in life, God is there with you. God is interested in you. God has a plan for you. God desires to use your life no matter where you are. All of this is predicated when we come to verse number 16. And we've emphasized and lifted the first three words of that verse to center these two verses around. David said, as I am going through life, here's what I want you to understand. I will go. He is declaring his spiritual ambition. He's looking to a time, not maybe even knowing everything that is going to happen throughout the remainder of his days. David, when he says, I will go, it is a reference to the fact that as God has been with him every day since the day of his birth to whatever season he is in, and that he by faith trusts God to be there the rest of the way. David said, I'm going to go and I'm going to go forward. That's the implication of the statement. And I'm going to go forward with God. It is God that has kept me safe thus far. It is God that has held my hand through every battle. It is God that has gave me victory. It is God who answered my prayer. It is God that has sustained me and lifted me up and been my shield and my fortress and my buckler. It is God that I owe all the credit to that I have arrived and made it to where I am right now. But my life is not over, and as far as I can see, I have every ambition in my heart, and I am going to go forward with God. And so I'm preaching on that thought, going forward with God. I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know where you are spiritually. I don't know where you are in your walk with God. I don't even know if you're saved tonight. And if you are saved, I don't know where you are in the season of your life. But I think these three words give great implication to you and I about what should be our own spiritual ambition. In this statement, I will go, we see David's determination, that he is determined, I am willing this so in my life. He's not going to flip coins about it and roll dice as to what he's going to do. He'll not leave it up to happenstance or to feeling. It is something he is determined to do in spite of anything that is going on in his life. I will go. And so we see his determination. We see in the statement his direction. For David said, I will go. And what we find here is that this implies forward motion. David said, I will go. It implies going forward. It reminds us that David had no intention of stopping. He had no intention of sitting down. Amen. He had no intention of backing up. No turning back was in his heart. I will go, and as I go, I am in a direction that is forward. No slipping, no straying, no stopping is involved or even crosses the mind of David. He has a direction in which God is leading his life. And as God leads his life, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go forward with God. And then we looked at David's desire and David's destination. For David makes a declaration, I will go, I will go. And so the question would arise, David, where are you going? David, what do you have in mind? What is the destination that you're hopeful you will arrive at? In this psalm, David no less than 13 times calls upon his God by name. It's as though David lets the psalm speak for itself as to the desire or the destination of his spiritual life. You see, his destination was not some successful educational endeavor. His destination had nothing to do with popularity and fame. It had nothing to do with some worldly ambition. God himself was the desire and the destination that David had in mind. The question, David, where are you going? David would no doubt say, I am going to and with God. I'll not live my life apart from him. I'll not turn my back on him now. He's given me everything I have. He's satisfied my soul unto this point of my life. And so I plan on and am determined in this direction that God is my destination. Is that your desire tonight? Do you have any spiritual ambition, desire, or destination in mind? Listen, there's nothing wrong with education. Amen. God knows we got enough stupid people in our generation as it is. Amen. We need some folk to be well educated. Amen. We don't need more ignorant people. We don't need more people. Amen. That don't know up from down and left from right and male from female. Can I get a witness tonight? Ain't nothing wrong with education. Amen. Get all you can, but don't leave God out of your direction. Amen. Oh, go get a job. Make all the money you can get. Amen. I'm a praying God send us some wealthy. Raise up some wealthy people. Amen. Around here, I hope some of these young men, amen, they'll get a desire in their heart to go with God. Amen. And God will bless them with money hand over fist, more than they can spend in a lifetime. Amen. And give it to the work of God. Amen. But you set your goals on making money. Don't forget to have God in your plans. Amen. David said, I'm going to go. I'm going to go forward. And I'm going to go forward with God. Amen. I was going to try to ease into preaching. I done got wound up, Brother Jack, quick. Y'all know that was going to happen. We're preaching on going forward with God. Amen. I'm deeply, deeply concerned in this day about the spiritual direction of this generation. Deeply concerned about it. I don't see many that are interested in God. We see many that are determined in a way of holiness tonight. David is evaluating his life and all he's already been through, and all he can say is it's been God all the way. Amen. Hallelujah. If it's been God all the way, I want my life to be consumed with him all the rest of my days. If he's been faithful to me thus far and he's going to remain faithful to me in the days to come, The least I can do is have a spiritual ambition for my life to be aligned in His will and with His word and with His way. I am determined that my life is going to go forward with God. So we've been looking at what all this entails. If I'm going to go forward with God, there's got to be some things we learn along the way that's going to help us to become and stay in that way and stay in a right and a proper direction. And so without delivering all of it again, I've done spent too much time. Amen. I'm going to try to end here 7:05. Y'all pray that'll happen. Amen. Number one, we said if you're going to go forward with God, you got to go forward strengthened of God. You can't go in your own power. This thing, there is a matter of your will, but your will, you'll have to have something greater than just your own self-determination. You won't do it without determination, without willpower, but you're going to have something even beyond that to sustain you. Look in the text, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And so David understands without the Lord's strength that he and you and I will fizzle out, fade out, and fall out in the way in which we're going. And so the Bible tells you and I to be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6:10, and to be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus, 2 Timothy 2 and in verse number 1. And so there are battles that are going to come our way. If you're going to go forward with God, that if you listen, you make up your mind, you make that your direction, you can have God as the ultimate desirous destination of your life. But I want to tell you tonight, you're going to need God to help sustain you. That doesn't mean every day is going to be easy. In fact, if you make this the goal of your life, that you're going to go forward with God, there's going to be things set in opposition to you being able to do that. And you're going to have to draw strength from a greater source than yourself, a source greater than your parents and greater than your spiritual heritage, greater than anything that you can muster within yourself. And you're going to have to go forward strengthened of God. And so we can preach a lot of that again tonight. Notice with me in verse 16, David said, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. And so he made this statement. We said number two, David is going forward with God, but he's going forward sanctified to God. He understands he don't have any righteousness, and anything righteous about him came from God in the first place. And so that's all he's going to mention is the righteousness of the Lord. And so if we're going to go forward with God, sanctification is a part of that process. Amen. We must be sanctified to God in His righteousness, where you and I have none, and what we could muster up and lay to the table tonight, the Word of God declares it's nothing more than filthy rags. Amen. But if we'll let God work Himself in you and I, we'll become a sanctified vessel meet for the Master's use. And we'll fulfill the will of God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that every man possess his vessel in sanctification. And so that's a dirty word in the church in this hour. That's something people don't want to hear. That's something preachers don't want to preach, much less live. That is still a Bible doctrine tonight. And when God saved you, He saved you to a life of sanctification. Amen. We said a lot about going forward sanctified to God. Now tonight, hang on to your seatbelt. I want to look at verse 17. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth. I want to say tonight, David is saying, as I go forward with God, if I am going to make it to my destination, I must go forward schooled by God. I need God to teach me along the way. I want to remind you tonight, you don't know all there is to know about living for God. I don't care if you've been saved 5 minutes or 500 years, ain't a man, woman, boy, girl in the building that can make it going forward with God without God showing them and teaching them and learning them the way in which they ought to go. David said, God's been teaching me, and he didn't just start yesterday. Amen. God has been teaching me from my youth. Amen. And I'm getting old enough now. I know I only look 28, but I'm really a lot older than that. And you got to understand, the older you get, you find out it's harder to learn some things. You don't remember things as well as you do. You don't grasp certain things as well as you used to. Your mind begins to, amen, amen. And I'm not that old. I just got a lot of miles on me. But the old mind, it has a harder time sometimes grasping. The older I get, I'm aware of that. And some of you young people, you think you're always going to be 800 foot tall and bulletproof and can jump buildings. And you laugh at some of these old folk hobbling around here, and you think you ain't ever going to get there. Hey, man, the day's going to come, you're going to get old too. Hey, man, you're going to wear out the same as the rest of us do. Hey, man. So if you want to go forward with God, can I say, amen, whether you're young or whether you're old, you got to be taught of the Lord and schooled by God. Amen. And that schooling never ends. But the best time to begin your spiritual schooling is when you're in the days of your youth. You need to learn how to sit up and pay attention in church. Get a hold of some spiritual truth to live your life by. Amen. I feel some preaching coming on. Did I say 7:05? I meant 8:05. I'm feeling better the longer I get into this thing. Let me tell you something tonight. You need to learn how to be taught of the Lord. I've learned in these 20-something years of pastoring now, there's some people you can't teach anything to. They already know it all. Say, how do you know they know it all? Because they told me they knew it all. Amen. The word taught David uses here, it's interesting. I love some of the definitions behind this word. The word taught, it means to be learned. The opposite of that would be to remain in a state of ignorance. I'm mindful of how many times the Apostle Paul in his epistles would write to the people of God and the churches he had established and was connected to. How many times, Brother Mike, he would pen something to the effect, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Brother David Epp said that must mean there's some ignorant brethren. And I tell you tonight, I've met some of them. I've pastored some of them. I ain't talking about any of y'all tonight. Surely not. There are some ignorant brethren. God wants us to be learned. God doesn't want you deceived and in error, and he doesn't want you unlearned. And yet the world looks at our life as we're told of God. You remember what they had said about Peter and about John there in the book of Acts. They took notice of those men. On one hand, they said these are ignorant and unlearned men. But they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It stuck out that they had not been to the prestigious schools and universities. They had not graduated valedictorians and with all the ribbons and the bands and the accolades of their local high school. They were just common men. They were by the world standards ignorant and unlearned men. They knew that those men had some knowledge of some things and came from a greater teacher than an earthly one. Took knowledge of them, they had been with Jesus. And if you'll, I'm getting ahead of myself. And if you'll learn to go forward with God and spend time with him, amen, you know what people have to say? Amen, they may not praise you for what you know about science and math. And you ought to learn all that you can. Amen, but if they say that man's been told something from God, amen, that'll be a wonderful testimony in your spiritual life. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about going forward school, but God, David said, oh God, thou hast taught me to be learned. It means the imparting of learning through, and there's three ways this imparting of learning takes place: through the acquisition of instruction. That is, you sit at the feet of the Lord and you listen to what He has to say to you.
Amen.
There is the imparting of learning by an example that has been set. Can I say the greatest example is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and the life that He lived. The acronym that came out years ago, and people wear it on their wrist and on their t-shirts and get it tattooed on their arm, and all that looks stupid. And, hey man, rather than putting WWJD, why don't you live WWJD? Hey man, and really what that movement was about was that Christ had set the example. And we as disciples and we as believers ought to line ourselves up with being taught by the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ has taught us, the Lord has taught us through the example that has been set in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's taught us by that example of spiritual leaders that live out their faith, that God has imparted a call upon their life. That's what Paul had in mind when he said, follow me as I follow Christ. We're not talking about cultish followings. We're not talking about man religion. But we're talking about spiritual examples that the Lord would raise up in our life. Godly men and godly women that God has used to set an example in our life. Amen. God will use those examples to teach you how to live. The imparting of learning, not only through the acquisition of instruction and through the example that's been set, but also through and by the discipline of the rod. If you won't listen to what's been instructed and you won't follow the example, you know what you get reduced to? The way God has to start teaching you, He'll whip the daylights out of you. Amen. You can learn it in the classroom or you can learn it behind the woodshed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. I'm glad I had a daddy that practiced the woodshed. I didn't like it growing up. Amen. There's a lot of things I didn't listen to what daddy said, and daddy had to burn my hind end up. Somebody help me. You know what some of these punks need in our day? They need an old-fashioned butt whipping.
Amen.
Amen. That ain't too strong, is it? Amen. These bunch of talk back. Amen. These bunch of, you didn't talk back to my daddy. Amen. There's a generation day. They better thank God they weren't raised by Jeff Ledbetter, my daddy.
Amen.
He'd knock your teeth out of your head. So I'll call what they call it, CPS. I'll call CPS. I tell you what, one of the local Mexican restaurant owners told me, I've got to know it. We're live on the radio. I won't call his name. Amen. He said his youngins, he brought them here from Mexico. He said they threatened him with that one day. He said, you call CPS on me, I'll send your tail back to Mexico. Amen. We got a generation don't know nothing about the rod in these days. And I tell you, you got a God in heaven that loves you enough. If you belong to Him and you're one of His children, hey, He gave you life. He gave you new life. He saved you. And He's interested in teaching you. And He'll gladly do that through instruction. He'll gladly do that by His own example and the example of others that have already grasped the lessons and are living the life. But if you don't get it that way, you know what He'll do? He'll goad you and He'll pierce you and He will light you up. Because He wants to teach you, He's going to teach you one way or the other. Amen. Somebody said, well, that's a mean God. That ain't what the Bible said. God said He scourgeth and chasteneth every son He receiveth. You know why? Because he loves them. Amen. Bible said of earthly fathers, the father that spares the rod hateth his son. The father that loves his son, the Bible said he beateth him. That's a strong word. The Bible said he beateth him oftentimes. Amen. I don't know why I'm hanging up here. I just feel good about it. Amen. I have one of them daddies. He'd come in there to whip me. He said, it's going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. I never understood that as a youngin. What in the world are you talking about? If it hurts you worse than it hurts me, let's flip the script here. He didn't take us up on that. But when I became a daddy and I had to use some of those disciplines on my own children and training and teaching them, began to learn what daddy man and how deep rooted that was in his heart. Daddy who loves his children enough to say, I can't let you go on unlearned in this area of your life. If you won't listen, if you won't follow the rules and follow the example, I love you too much to let you go down that road and kill yourself or wind up in a mess. I'm going to have to bring the rod out and use some discipline and teach you a hard way. You know, some of us, they learn the easy way. Some of us so hard heads, Mr. Ronnie. Some of us so hard heads, we all learn the hard way. I say it's an easier way to learn and to be taught in the classroom. It's a hard way to be taught behind the woodshed. Yes, amen. Some of you youngins don't like me preaching on this. I hope your mom and daddy takes you home and just beats the devil out of you. I'm so sick of having to deal with this generation out in public. Rude. Rude and arrogant and disorderly. Amen. If I didn't think I'd go to jail, I'd start carrying a paddle around town, just bend them over my knee and whip them. We on the radio? I think we're on the radio. Oh, Lord. Sheriff Ball, I'm just joking. Amen. This word told, it means to, I love this, it means to be made knowledgeable or well-trained. David said, the Lord has made me knowledgeable. I'm not deceived. I'm not in error. I'm not in falsehood because God has made me knowledgeable about himself. God has made me knowledgeable and has well trained me on how to live for him. I can't do it without him. In fact, I believe that's God's desire for all of our lives is that we would be well trained how to live for God. Say, where's the source? The source, David said, has come from the Lord himself. It is the Lord that is taught. It is the Lord that has taught David how to live. It is the Lord that has given him instruction. The Lord that has taught him doctrine. It's the Lord that's told him about the word. Amen. Can I say tonight, you need to learn where to get your instruction from tonight. Amen. You're not going to know how to live for God letting Hollywood tell you how to live. You got to learn how to sit in the feet of the Lord. Amen. Get your face out of Google and get yourself the feet of God and let God show you how to live your life in this ungodly world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah, preacher. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Amen. Paul, recalling his own ministry, amen, said, we didn't come and teach you things that were after the wisdom of men. Of the things we gave to you, they are things that are taught. Amen. Things the Holy Ghost teacheth a man. Amen. I'm glad we've got a source of education. We've got a source of learning, a source of being taught, and where the God of glory can teach us things and are not learned in a classroom and are not learned at the feet of a philosopher in a day and an age in which we're living in. Men are flocking themselves
comes to mind, like Jordan Peterson and Andrew Tate, who, and you can argue about what they're teaching, but they're wicked men that don't know God. Hey, man, we don't need more Dr. Phil. Hey, man, we don't need more Dr. Phil. We need more Christians and to be schooled by Almighty God. That's exactly right. Learn something from God. Have you been taught of God? David said, it is God that has taught me. It is God that has well trained me. Amen. It is God that has set me down in his classroom and in times took me behind the woodshed. It is God that has schooled my life. The only way you and I can go forward with God as if we're willing to be schooled by the one we're going with.
Amen.
Amen. The idea here that David has in mind is that God had taught him how to live. I think the question could be posed, I've got to quit. Amen. I don't really have to quit, do I? Amen. I ain't going to be much longer, but I think the question we should ask here then, if David is saying going forward with God means I've got to be schooled by God, God is teaching me how to live. I think the question we've got to pose to ourselves tonight, who's teaching us how to live? In Bible times, in Bible days, especially in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, men became known for their teaching by the pupils or the students, or the Bible word would be disciples that followed those men. You could meet a man and be around him a few minutes and say, so and so has taught them X, Y, and Z. They've been listening to so and so, and it would bear out in the way they talked. Would bear out in the way they were dressed. Would bear out in the activities they were a part of, because who you're taught by begins to show in your life.
Amen.
I don't mean to be offensive tonight. I ain't, amen. And if it's offensive, you just have to take it up with God. I ain't trying to make no enemies. But I look around tonight in the church at large and I go, ain't no way God taught them that.
Amen. You're right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If we're going to go forward with God, we must be schooled by Him.
Amen.
Can I enlarge on it just a moment? This thought, I've got too much. Lord, it's been a good place to preach today. We talk about enlarging upon this. I thought about Matthew 11:29. Anybody know what Matthew 11:29 says? That was Christ's invitation where he said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest.
Yes,
he said to them in that following verse, Matthew 11:29, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. And so I would call that tonight the yoke of our schooling. The yoke, the invitation to enter into the yoke with Christ that we might learn of Him and what He has in mind. You know this, you've heard it all preached, but the yoke is that connecting device to bring a young ox close to be taught by the elder ox who knew how to plow and knew how to go through the field and had all the instruction, and they would bring the young, unbroken, wild, rebellious ox, and they would begin to break him by yoking him to an ox that already had it figured out. Bringing that young one into connection and close proximity. Amen. So that it could learn from that other. And can I say, when it comes to our schooling, going forward, schooled of God, you're going to have to be willing to get connected and closely connected to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're not going to be schooled how you need to be to make it to go forward with God all the days of your life till you're willing to say being close to Jesus is the most important relationship I have in the days I have left on earth. There are people think they're going to go forward with God and be successful and have an impact on this generation that never spend any time in the yoke with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where you learn of Him. That is where He shows you what you're doing wrong. That is where He leads you in the how to live your life right. Amen. Is entering into the yoke of our schooling and respond to the invitation. You say, preacher, that yoke, it doesn't seem like it would be comfortable. It doesn't seem like that would be the life that I would want to live. And I want to tell you today, amen, it gets wearisome outside of the yoke. That's where you're weary. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You'll find rest when you're schooled and learn of the Lord Jesus in the yoke. Doing it on your own is going to wear you out. Thinking you have all the answers. Amen. Turning your back on all of our spiritual heritage to come up with some newfangled way of religion and doing church shows you know nothing about the yoke, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't mean to be so old fuddy-duddy in fashion, but I'm so amused by this new generation of religion. Thinks they can cast off all the old-time ways of worship to fit in with the modern day. I promise you, they didn't learn that from Christ.
Amen.
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 I understand I'm old-fashioned. I understand there's a lot of things I believe and ways I live. I should have been back 100 years ago, but God didn't give me to the generation 100 years back. He gave me to your generation. I'm here for such a time as this to call a generation and be schooled by God again to get in the yoke and to learn of Christ how that we're supposed to live and function in a holy life. The yoke of our schooling, I could say a lot more about that. I got to say something about this, the yearning for our schooling. So yearning. Here's what I got in mind. Here's what I got in mind. Here's how the Lord put it in my heart. God has a deep desire to teach you. He has a desire for you to learn of Him. If you're saved tonight, you need to understand that He yearns and He longs. He has this deep-rooted passion for your life, your spiritual life, to school you and to lead you. Let me read you these verses. You can find it in 1 John 2, verse number 26. I'm going to begin to read. You find it quick and get there with us. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. John said, there is a crowd around you in the world. There is a crowd even in the realms of religion that would long to seduce you and entice you and to draw you away from the life that you're to live as a child of God. He's writing throughout 1 John chapter number 2. And he writes about there's a crowd that went out from us. And that only brought forth the evidence that really, truly, all along they were not of us. He talks about there's a crowd. There's a crowd that is trying to get their clutches in the lives of God's people and drag them back into bondage and back into sin and back into worldliness. And now he writes, he said, what I want you to understand is what I have in mind is I know there's a crowd trying to seduce you. Notice what he said and how this is going to be dealt with. But the anointing, hallelujah, I'm about to run a lap. But the anointing, which ye have received of him abideth in you. There's something on the inside of you that is calling you to live for God, and go forward with God, and live a holy life. There is something in you that is greater than all the seductions on the outside. Amen. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. You have an anointing of the Holy Ghost if you're saved. You got an anointing of the Holy Ghost in your life. You didn't have to wait 6 months, 6 years. We ain't waiting on a second blessed. I got it all when I got saved. Hey man, there was an anointing shed abroad in my heart. Hey man, where all this world tries to seduce me away from God and away from truth and away from a holy life, there's an anointing on the inside of me that has taught me how to live, not a lie, but live the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, I'm going to tell you tonight, there is a yearning, but the anointing which ye have received. You know what John's saying? He's saying, I'm aware of all the seducers that are out there. And I'm also aware there's one on the inside of you that is calling you to truth and is longing to teach you how to live, longing to teach you how to throw off the seduction and cast away the sin and to live a holy life. There's one on the inside of you and longs to teach you how to live.
Yes, sir.
For you to not go forward with God and go your own way and live in sin as a child of God, you have to ignore the anointing and the yearning and the desire of the Holy Ghost to show you truth from error. Hebrews chapter 10 calls it doing despite to the Spirit of grace. That's a strong message. I won't preach it tonight. You trample underfoot the blood of Christ that saved you and washed your sins away. There's one on the inside, Jesse, that yearns tonight for you to come to the place in your life where you realize his deep desire to sit you down and to teach you how to live for God. There's a warning in Psalm 106. I believe it's verse number 25. There's a warning that is given about our lives not being mingled with the ways of the heathen. Seducers. In the last days. Now, how many of y'all believe we're in the last days? Believe we're in the last days? We're in the last days. Remember what Paul prophesied? He said, no, this also in the last days. Men will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Deceiving.
Amen.
And being deceived and departing from the faith.
Yes,
they're doing it all over town.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
If you ain't careful, you'll fall in the same seduction.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of us would have fell out a long time ago had it not been for the yearning of the Spirit of God that called us and said,
yes, sir.
Stop right there. Don't mingle with that.
Amen. Amen.
Oh boy, I'm about to get in big trouble. We got a crowd. Show me chapter and verse. Show me chapter and verse. You can't show me chapter and verse, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. I can do what I want. Whatever happened, the Holy Ghost being on the inside of somebody that said, no.
Amen. Yes, sir.
No.
Amen.
Hold up.
Yes, sir.
Sit down a minute. Let me teach you something. And you care enough about the yearning he was exercising in your life to say, if it means that much to my God, it's got to be something to me.
Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. A lot different what you hear in some of these compromising outfits, ain't it? Go live however you want. Love, 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 love. Come up with a message on love. The only thing I can come up with is love not the world.
Amen.
Neither the things that are in the world. I keep trying to come up with something on love, make y'all feel good, a good love message. All I can come up with is, I love thy word, therefore I hate every false way.
Amen.
That's all I can come up with. I've been trying my best to give you a feel-good, rub-down, lovey-dovey message, and that's all I can come up with. Y'all pray. I'll get one out of there one of these days. I ain't against love. We ought to love. But what about living? What about living? There's a lot of this love junk people talking about. It ain't got nothing to do with Bible love. You know what it's got to do with? We'll be nice. We all got to be nice. Nice, 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 nice. What about living a holy life? Has there ever been a time in your life the Holy Ghost stopped you in your tracks and said, you better stop right now?
Amen.
Yes,
sir.
He has me.
Amen.
He has me. Amen. There's some things, and we're in an age of technology. You can get into areas that are, amen, at best gray areas, if not just outright, something going to get you backslid in your heart.
Amen.
It's amazing. You can get on there. Holy Ghost ever say, stop.
Amen.
What, Lord? Sit down a minute. Got to teach you something. Said, what in the world you talking about? If you don't know what I'm talking about, you probably don't know him.
Amen.
Believe that's right, Brother Larry.
Absolutely, sir.
There's a yearning on the inside. The Spirit of God, when them seducers began to come, that he says, whoa, let me teach you why you ought to avoid this.
Amen.
Stay away from that.
Amen.
He'll do that a lot of different ways, but I thank God he's willing.
Amen.
To long to help school me and show me how I'm to live. Amen. Then there's the yielding. We could talk about the yielding in our schooling. You know, no teacher will successfully teach anybody or well train anybody who does not submit to the instruction they're being given.
Amen.
That's true of us parents with our children. Amen. Y'all have heard everything I preached about whipping your children. I'm not for abuse, and y'all know that. I got too many visitors here tonight. I probably need to make that disclaimer. I ain't got no tolerance for anybody that abuses their family.
Amen.
Do it the Bible way, or you don't do it at all.
Amen.
There's a Bible way to do it that works and ought to be accomplished. Amen. I'm not for beating them with logging chains and water hoses.
Right.
Come on now.
Amen.
Amen. You do that, and we find out we're going to take a water hose to your backside.
Yes.
Somebody help me and Jack Garrett going to show up, and I'll just watch because I can't be a brawler and be a pastor. But he ain't the pastor. He can beat the living devil out of you in Jesus' name. Right?
Right.
Amen. And if he can't do it on his own, Larry said he's coming. Amen. You don't want Larry getting his one eye on you. He's going to whip you, and he's going to whip you. Amen. You think a grizzly bear done got a hold of you. Amen. I ain't talking about abuse. But you know, even us parents, if our children do not yield themselves to what we're trying to teach them, all our instruction is in vain. Don't mean we shouldn't try. Sooner or later, a youngin has to come to the place where they yield themselves to what is being taught. And I say in your spiritual life, you will have to reach a place. I'm not going to preach this all the way out. It was going to be the main part of the message. I done messed this one up. But comes a point in time in your spiritual life where you have to yield yourself to the instruction that God is teaching you. Paul had to write about this in Ephesians 4. He said, I don't want you living your life as other Gentiles. God saved you out of all that sin and lasciviousness and the vanity of their mind. You used to be in all that. And then he made this statement long about Ephesians 4 verse 20, if I remember right. He said, but ye have not so learned Christ. He said, if so be that ye have been taught of him. And then he gives them three things. I'll throw them out and I'm done. He gives him three things that if a man will yield himself to the schooling of Christ in his life, here's what Christ, you've got to yield to, what Christ is trying to teach you that you've got to yield to. Number one, put off the old man.
Amen.
The old man, put him off. The life you lived before you were saved. The life that you were attached to, you've been delivered. You're supposed to be delivered from that. And so don't be looking to go back. Don't be looking for a way to engage in that anymore. Put off the old man.
Amen.
Amen. He deals with the fact that that is not just an action, but it is a mindset. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Amen.
Amen. How we doing tonight?
Yes.
Not just your actions, but your mindset about the old man. You got to put off the old man. Number two, put on the new man. Put on the new man. And when that happens, there is righteousness and holiness that is created in your life. Why? Because the new man is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll yield yourself to what Christ is teaching, he'll teach you lessons about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And then he said this, Ephesians 4, verse 25, wherefore putting away. And he gives a list of things that include lying, unrighteous anger, evil communications, stealing, grieving the Holy Ghost, treating one another in the body of Christ in a way that is not befitting to a child of God.
Amen.
So what do you mean? You got to yield yourself to his lesson, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, and putting away the carnal man.
Absolutely.
You say, preacher, I'm saved. That's between you and the Lord. I'll take your word for it. If you're saved, there is a carnal man on the inside of every one of us that will justify sin in our life. Well, I don't cheat on my spouse. Yeah, but you got a lying, gossiping, backbiting tongue. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You got to learn to put away the carnal man.
Amen.
Well, I ain't out getting drunk on the weekends. Yeah, but you're full of bitterness.
Amen.
And envy and strife that is just as much a part of your carnal man as all that other stuff is in the bar hoppers tonight, in their old Adamic nature. Your carnal man has bitterness and envy and strife. And you got to constantly be yielding to Christ to learn how to put all that away. Is that right? I tell you, I don't have needle tracks up and down my arms. Well, good. But you've grieved the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. You got to learn to put all that away. Well, I don't have a problem with lust. Yeah, but what about your anger?
Yes, sir.
And I can argue from the Word of God, if you got a problem with anger, you got a problem with lust.
Amen.
I can prove that from the Bible. That's a whole nother message. But let's just take you at your word. You got to learn how to put away those things.
Right.
that concern the carnal man.
Amen.
Christ to teach you how to do that.
Yes, sir.
Preach, I don't know how. Sit down. Let God teach you something.
Amen.
Now, He'll do it in your private time with Him. As you pick up the Word of God and read it, He'll teach you things.
Amen.
As you meditate tomorrow morning on things that you've heard today, He'll recall some things back to mind, make personal application in your life, and He'll teach you how to put off, put on, and put away.
Amen.
Hopefully today in this service, you've learned some things. You've been taught some things of God through the ministry of God's man about challenging your spiritual life.
Yes.
None of those things do you any good till you yield to what He's teaching.
Amen.
Are you yielded tonight? Are you yielded to the yearning and to the yoke? Because if you will, God will teach you how to live for Him. Amen.
Amen.